64 days away. Number 64, the best of all time, Randall McDaniel, guard for the Vikings and Bucks, who started 202 straight games, 12 straight Pro Bowl teams, part of the 1998 Minnesota Vikings, who set a record with 556 points. Gary Anderson, man. Gary Anderson. I feel bad for Gary Anderson. Joining me right now from the NFL Network, a guy who is a beloved Coug from the University of Houston, Cameron Wolf. Cameron, what's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
Doing wonderful. Look, everyone here in Houston is finally feeling a little bit better about the football team in town with some of the things that they have done this offseason. From the outside looking in, Cameron, how much do you think the perception of the Texans has changed over the last couple of months?
I would say it's changed a little bit. I think you have to probably win on the field for it to change, you know, significantly. But I'll tell you what, the draft and how aggressive they were to go get TJ and Will shows people that they're ready to win. You know, a lot of the Texans last few years has all been like the post-Deshaun era. Everything you talk about for the Texans is Deshaun and how they've been past Deshaun. This draft kind of felt like a step in a new era where we stop talking about Deshaun with the Texans and you start talking about TJ and Will. And so I think that narrative has changed nationally. And then ultimately how well TJ plays and how well they win will determine if people will start treating the Texans a little bit more seriously. But I definitely think there's a lot of reason for excitement for Houston fans about the future. And it's been, you know, a few years since you could say that.
Yeah, I think for us right now, it's just, hey, is the team interesting? I've been listening to a bunch of podcasts, Cameron, that are talking about season expectations for the team. And it's basically just have a pulse. It's such a low bar to clear. And it's nice because they should be able to clear that this time around.
Absolutely, absolutely. You mentioned it. Like the expectations have been tremendously low. What's also in their favor is they play in a division where the expectations overall have been tremendously low. And so they're more in the group rather than the outlier. But I'll tell you what, the quarterback is usually 75%, 80% of the challenge. You know, you don't have to put out, you know, no offense, Davis Mills throughout the season this year. You see CJ. I think that's going to give you a lot more respect nationally, and it also gives you a better outlook. And so, yeah, last year, I think it was, what, three or four wins? And you start to raise that bar. You say, okay, can we get to six or seven wins in year one under D'Amico and CJ? And then year two, can we get to 500 and compete for a wild card spot? And then maybe year three, you're talking about, okay, can we win a division and try to make some noise in the playoffs? I think you could start to raise your expectations slowly every year once you start to have that quarterback spot figured out.
Couple of new quarterbacks entering the AFC South, which you just mentioned. You got Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. You have Will Levis in Tennessee, along with C.J. Stroud. And everyone's looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars as the prohibitive favorites in the AFC South based off of Trevor Lawrence and that comeback that the Jaguars had against the Chargers in the wild card round of last year's playoffs. I guess to take a look at the AFC South in totality, the division you mentioned, Cameron, it's not the best. That's for damn sure. So at the very least, you think the Texans might be a little friskier this year. I guess, do you see Tennessee, do you see Indianapolis as probably top to bottom better teams than what the one that's here in H-Town?
Yeah, I would say that, and I'll start this off with what probably is considered a hot take, but I don't think so. I think the AFC South is maybe number two, maybe behind the AFC East, in my opinion, is the most intriguing division to watch this year. And I will tell you what, it's been a long time. Let's just call it what it is. The AFC South has long been the quote-unquote laughingstock of the league, where you say, are they going to be in a Thursday night football game, that sort of thing. But to me, you add the quarterbacks in that division, you add CJ in Houston, you add Anthony Richardson, who I absolutely love, and Indy, and then you add Will Levis potentially in Tennessee, although they may wait a year with him, to what Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville did last year. I don't know another division top to bottom other than maybe the AFC East that has more intriguing quarterbacks throughout. And so that's getting me excited. As far as Indy, I mean, you know, Anthony Richardson is going to be an interesting case study about readiness, because all you heard in the draft process was he's not ready. You have to sit him. From what I hear in Indy, there's a very good chance he's their week one starter. And so you're going to see him go through some growing pains, but you're also going to see what his readiness truly is. Is he going to be able to help Indy compete, you know, for that division in year one, or are they a little bit more on Houston's timeline as, you know, a couple of, you know, 1 or 2 years away? So that to me is an intriguing factor. And then Jacksonville had an incredible second half of the year, and I think they're going to be really good. But now they're the hunted. You know, it changes a little bit when you're the team that everybody's hunting versus you're the hotshot team. And so how does that change expectations there? How does, you know, Tennessee and Houston and Indy all take their best shot? So to me, that's what's intriguing about this division. And then which of these quarterbacks sort of emerge first, right? To me, I think CJ's got a really good chance to be the best quarterback of the rookies in year one. And if he does, then maybe Houston surprises some people this year.
Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network with us. To piggyback off of that, Cameron, you mentioned Anthony Richardson. If you were a general manager of an NFL team and you had the second pick in the draft and you had Stroud and Richardson available to you, and again, everyone's wrong when it comes to quarterback evaluations before. I've just stopped making them all together because I'm too much of a coward to actually put my name on anything anymore. But if you had to pick between those two, Richardson and Stroud, who would you have taken?
So I'm probably going to upset some Houston fans here. I'm not going to lie to you. I would probably take Anthony Richardson. And here's why. First of all, I'm a big Anthony Richardson fan. The way I go about it, and this is probably why I'm not an NFL general manager, if I'm taking a player in the top five, I want to take my biggest swing. I want to take a chance that this guy is going to be the next Patrick Mahomes, even though there's not any other Patrick Mahomes. And so there's a better chance that you're going to strike out with Anthony Richardson. But if I hit, then I may have a guy that's going to compete for, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league for a very long time. I think CJ has got a lot better hit rate. You know, I think there's a very good chance that CJ is going to be a good quality starting quarterback for a very long time. I don't know that he necessarily is going to be a top three overall, but maybe he could prove me wrong. But me personally, the traits that Anthony Richardson has, I think it's overblown a little bit, some of the mechanics that people talk about. I've watched him throw personally. He looks pure as a passer. He can throw the ball 75 yards, and I think in a better scheme, you'll see more of his talent. And so I think Anthony Richardson has a lot better chance of hitting that potential than people think. And so for me, I probably would have went Bryce, Anthony Richardson, and then CJ closely followed behind, just trying to be honest with you.
Cameron Wolf of the NFL Network with us. Look, I don't blame you. Richardson was intriguing for me because I like the Florida Gators. I watch them a lot on Saturdays, and some of the moments that you would see from Richardson, specifically that ridiculous pump fake spin move that he had against Utah, you're like, holy crap, I want this. It's so cool. And I had, you know, as over the course of the year, we would watch C.J. Stroud and you'd watch Ohio State, and that game against Michigan, you're wondering, man, why is C.J. Stroud the one Ohio State quarterback who's lost a couple of times to Michigan? But then you see him play against Georgia, and I want to see more of that guy who had, honestly, a propensity to run, because I think that was something that people weren't 100% sure that Stroud could actually do. And he takes off and he runs, and he said, like, in the pre-draft process, it's something he wished he had done a little bit more. With Richardson, you know what you're getting. You know you're going to get a lot of that, and why not? The guy was so damn good at the NFL Combine.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I actually talked to some general managers throughout the process who thought Ohio State limited him and his ability to be that athlete. And they're like, hey, people are going to be surprised when he reaches the league about how athletic C.J. Stroud is. I had a general manager told me he thought he was probably more athletic than Dak Prescott when he was coming in as a runner, and you just didn't see it. You know, with Dak coming out, he was running for 500-600 yards, and the way Ohio State's offense was, and they even did it for Justin Fields. Justin Fields didn't look like this sort of runner he's been in the pros at Ohio State, because they asked their quarterback to stay in the pocket and typically be a pocket passer. But I think CJ, especially, you know, in that offense, will be able to move a little bit more, be able to use some play action game and some movement. And then I think you'll see him be a little bit more than that sort of pocket passer he showed in college. And I think that'll be great for Houston, because one thing that people don't talk about with Houston, they've got a solid offensive line. Like, I really like what they're building there. And a lot of times you have these teams that are taking quarterbacks in the top three or the top five. They have an awful offensive line. They have awful skill position players. And so the quarterback has to be Superman. I think CJ is going to be able to be selective in when he runs, because they're not handcuffing him. But he also can sit in the pocket and be that passer. So I think he actually has a setup that gives him a chance to be a lot more successful in year one than most quarterbacks that are taken second overall.
He's Cameron Wolf. You can catch him on the NFL Network, a UH alum. Cameron, thanks so much for your time. We'd love to have you on again when there's actually football to talk about. You have yourself a wonderful day.
Absolutely. And one more thing, because we just didn't get to talk about it. I am a Houston Cougar. I love Tank Dell. I think Tank Dell is going to be a star there. So I haven't talked about it much, but since we're on this broadcast, watch out for Tank Dell.
There we
People
go.
Say that Houston doesn't have a number one receiver. Don't be surprised if Tank Dell by the end of the year is that number one receiver from.
Definitely seeing a lot of promising things on that front between he and C.J. Stroud as we get closer and closer to the start of the year. Cameron, thanks, man. Have a good one.